Well, happy and blessed Sabbath to one and all here and on the phone and those listening to the recording and those tuning in to WLMR Radio. It's good to be back in fellowship with you all. Praise God for his merciful kindness and divine protection in bringing us safely through another week and back into fellowship with one another and the ability to raise our voices and our thoughts heavenward. And indeed, praise God from whom all blessings flow. So welcome, dear ones. Our opening song is How Sweet Are the Tidings. And you can find this a beautiful hymn on our website in the Home Church section under Music and then under Hymns. How sweet are the tidings that greet the pilgrim's ear as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. The mossy old graves where the pilgrims sleep shall be opened as wide as before. And the millions that sleep in the mighty deep shall live on this earth once more. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. There will meet ne'er to part in our happy Eden home. Sweet songs of redemption we'll sing. From the north, from the south, all the ransomed shall come and worship our heavenly King. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah again. Soon, if faithful, we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful till then, and a crown of bright glory we'll wear. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Is the Savior reigning in your heart and life, right now, dear ones? That's what he's longing to do. So open your heart and life and let the Savior in so that he can start reigning now. And indeed, when he comes, a crown of bright glory, he will personally, with his own hands, place upon your head. And what a wonderful day that will be, dear ones. What a wonderful day indeed.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for what is, where we are, a beautiful Sabbath day. Might not be that way with everybody, but behind the clouds, the sun is always shining, and that's the Sun of Righteousness. We ask that you will come and be with us this morning. Be with Bob as he presents his message. May it find lodging in each heart. May we all be benefited by what we hear today and share it with others. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother, and amen. Well, this is part 3 of our series on the family unit. And the last time we learned that the husband and wife are united together as one flesh through marriage. And in this way, they are bound to each other as equals. And both the husband and the wife are to try to see eye to eye on every issue so that there may be peace, harmony, and unity in the family. But in the times when there is a disagreement between them in any non-religious decision which needs to be made, and they cannot come to an agreement, then the final decision is left with the husband, because God has made him the head of the wife and the family in non-religious issues. Now, we also discovered last time that if any husband lords it over his wife or mistreats her in any way, then God will not hear his prayers, and this man will be doomed to a life of misery and failure. So we clearly saw that there's no basis in God's word for any husband to mistreat or to lord it over his wife in any area. And we also clearly saw that there is no basis in God's word for any wife to mistreat or usurp authority over her husband in any area. Now, last time we also learned that it's extremely important for children to love, honor, and obey their father and mother. And this is because when the children honor, respect, and obey their parents, then they are learning the vitally important lesson and preparing the way for them to love and obey their heavenly Father. And God promises to bless these children with long life upon the land which he will give them. And this land will ultimately be the new earth and everlasting life. But we also saw that if children refuse to lovingly obey their parents, then there is little chance that they will learn to love and obey God, and thus will lose eternal life. But again, with God, all things are possible to those who believe. So we discovered what type of government and order should be established and adhered to in each family in both religious and non-religious issues. But now, what are some of the specific responsibilities and duties that the father, the mother, and the children have and are to perform within a family unit? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/capital SDA/ID1487.htm. Now, if you look at quote number one, what are the specific responsibilities and duties of the Father? Well, the first is he is the priest or teacher of the family in religious matters. You can find that in Testimonies, Volume 2, page 701. Next, the Father is to lead his family forward and upwards towards God, which is Councils on Education, page 230. The next is he is to bring each family member before Christ in prayer. That's Testimonies, Volume 2, page 701. The next is the Father is as a king who lays down the law for the family to follow. That's from Testimonies, Volume 2, page 701. And 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 to 5 and 12. The next is the Father is to be easily approached, talked with, or entreated. That's James 3:17. The next is the Father is not to be arbitrary in authority. You can find that in Child Guidance, page 250 and 252, Patriarchs and Prophets, 175 to 76. The next is that he's to provide for his family. That's 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. And last but not all, this is just a brief examination of the duties and responsibilities of the Father, but next is the Father is to respect, love, and honor his wife, which is Adventist Home, page 337. And from Testimonies, Volume 2, page 701, the meaning of husband is house band. All members of the family center in the Father. He is the lawmaker, illustrating in his own manly bearing the sterner virtues, energy, integrity, honesty, patience, courage, diligence, and practical usefulness. The Father is in one sense the priest of the household, laying upon the altar of God the morning and evening sacrifice. The wife and children should be encouraged to unite in this offering and also to engage in the song of praise. Morning and evening, the father, as priest of the household, should confess to God the sins committed by himself and his children through the day. So this is what each father is to be doing. Continuing, those sins which have come to his knowledge and also those which are secret, of which God's eye alone has taken cognizance, should be confessed. This rule of action, zealously carried out by the father when he is present or by the mother when he is absent, will result in blessings to the family. So this is what each father should be doing in his family. And again, this is just a brief list of the responsibilities and duties of the father in this family unit. And if each father would recognize the responsibilities upon his shoulders to carry out, then there would be so much more righteousness and godliness in this world, because children would have the example to look to of what it means to be a man of God. But what about the responsibilities and duties of the mother? If you look at quote number two, the mother is as a queen who also makes her word the law of the family. This is from Review and Herald, September 15, 1904. The mother is to lead out in early training of her children for Christ. This is from Adventist Home, page 246, and Child Guidance, page 24 and 63. The mother is the teacher, the guide, and educator of her children. This is 1 Timothy 5:14, and Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, page 179 and 206. The mother is to keep at home and not spend her time gossiping elsewhere. This is Titus 2:5. And 1 Timothy 5:13. And the mother is to respect and honor her husband. And that's Testimonies, Volume 2, page 462. And we're also told about the mother's responsibilities and duties in Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, page 371. God does not call mothers away from home missionary work, which will leave their children under the control of influences that are demoralizing and ruinous to the soul. Are not her children in need of missionary labor? Are not her children worth earnest and prayerful effort? Shall she neglect home missionary work for a larger field? Let her try her skill in her own home, take up her appointed, God-given work. And then from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 594. If married men go into the work, leaving their wives to care for the children at home, the wife and mother is doing fully as great and important a work as the husband and father. Although one is in the missionary field, the other is a home missionary whose cares and anxieties and burdens frequently far exceed those of the husband and father. Her work is a solemn and important one, to mold the minds and fashion the characters of her children, to train them for usefulness here and fit them for the future immortal life. The husband in the open missionary field may receive the honors of men, while the home toiler may receive no earthly credit for her labor. But if she works for the best interest of her family, seeking to fashion their characters after the divine model, the recording angel writes her name as one of the greatest missionaries in the world. God does not see things as man's finite vision views them. So what are some of the greatest missionaries this world has ever seen? It's not Charles Wesley. It's not Billy Graham. It's mothers. And to have God's approval is so much more important than the approval of men. Because connected with God is eternal life. Connected with men is hollow applause. So that's some of the duties and responsibilities that are upon the mother. But what about the children? What are some of their duties and responsibilities? If you look at quote number 3, the responsibilities and duties of the children, they are to respect, love, and honor their parents. They are to follow the directions of their father and mother. They are to be kind and affectionate toward one another. Romans 12:10. And they are to learn how to be helpful in the family and helpful to one another. And for the boys and young men out there listening, I want you to remember this principle. How you treat your mother will determine in a great degree how you will treat your wife. In Adventist Home on page 47, we're told, let the woman who desires a peaceful, happy union, referring to marriage, who would escape future misery and sorrow, inquire before she yields her affections, how or has my lover a mother? Does he recognize his obligations to her? Is he mindful of her wishes and happiness? If he does not respect and honor his mother, will he manifest respect and love, kindness and affection toward his wife? And what's the answer? The answer is no. So since it's true that how boys treat their mother will determine how they will treat their future wife, then the same principle will hold true for girls and their fathers. So then for the girls and young women out there, I ask you to please remember this point. How you treat your father will determine in a great degree how you will treat your future husband. So God knew what he said in the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, and in doing so, your days will be long upon the land which God will give you. Now, what we have gone over in these three parts of this series is just a very brief look at how God would have the government of our family unit arranged, and then some of the specific duties and responsibilities of each member of this family unit. But the key to success in this grand endeavor is for each family member to love God, to love Jesus Christ, and to love each other. And if we would lovingly arrange our family government based upon these biblical and inspired rules, then what would be the result in our family? What would be the result in the world? you look at quote number 4 from the book Lift Him Up on page 253. Some households have a little church in their home. Mutual love binds heart to heart, and the unity that exists among the members of the family preaches the most effectual sermon that could be preached on practical godliness. As parents faithfully do their duty in the family, restraining, correcting, advising, counseling, guiding, the father as a priest of the household, the mother as a home missionary, they are filling the sphere God would have them fill. So just faithfully performing the duties and responsibilities upon you, dear fathers and dear mothers, you are fulfilling the purpose for which God allowed you to get married and to have children for. So in realizing that important role, then you don't have to look elsewhere for some great work to do, because you're filling the very spot that God wants you to fill at that particular point in time. And that is the best, the most important place for you to be. So you would be filling the sphere that God would have you fill at that point in time. Continuing. By faithfully doing their duty in the home, they are multiplying agencies for doing good outside the home. They are becoming better fitted to labor in the church. By training their little flock discreetly, binding their children to themselves and to God, fathers and mothers become laborers together with God. What a privilege and honor that is, dear ones, to be co-laborers with the Almighty. Continuing. The cross is erected in their home. The members of the family become members of the royal family above, children of the heavenly King. From Sons and Daughters of God, page 258. The mission of the home extends beyond its own members. The Christian home is to be an object lesson illustrating the excellence of the true principles of life. Such an illustration will be a power for good in the world, far more powerful than any sermon that can be preached. Is the influence of a true home. As the youth go out from such a home, the lessons they have learned are imparted. Nobler principles of life are introduced into other households, and an uplifting influence works in the community. All from the proper upbringing of the precious little children that God has blessed fathers and mothers with. From Sermons and Talks, Volume 1, page 77. Do we consider and realize that the greatest influence to recommend Christianity to our world is a well-ordered and well-disciplined Christian family? The world sees that they believe God's word. And then from Pamphlets, number 123 on page 45. the most powerful sermon that can be given the unbelieving world in recommendation of our faith is a well-disciplined family. Children that are educated to habits of self-denial and self-control and are taught to be courteous, kind, and affectionate will make an impression upon minds that nothing else can. So, home obedience by each member of the family unit is the greatest sermon that can be preached to the world. Why do you think Satan is so determined to split up the family unit? Why do you think he is so determined to encourage fathers and mothers to divorce each other and to have the children going into two different households? All because he recognizes how important the family unit is if they're all converted to God. Such a family unit would exert a powerful influence on the world that the devil claims to be the god of. And individuals, unbelievers, would come to recognize that there is a God who lives and who dwells among his people. And they would want the same for themselves. So then parents can be responsible for preaching one of the greatest sermons to a non-believing world just by adopting and following this God-ordained form of family government. And it's not just the parents that can do so. Children and youth, you can also be responsible for preaching one of the greatest sermons to unbelievers just by your loving obedience to God and to your parents. So then it doesn't matter how old you are. Just by lovingly obeying God and your parents, you as a 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5 or 10-year-old, you as a young man or woman can preach the greatest sermon on godliness that the world has ever seen. But it's more than this, dear ones. Such a family unit as this will not only be preaching the greatest sermon to others, but each family member will experience the glorious peace and blessing from God in heaven. From Signs of the Times, November 14, 1892. We are children of the Heavenly King, members of the royal family, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The mansions Jesus has gone to prepare are to receive only those who are true, who are pure, who love and obey his words. In the mansions above, we shall meet to part no more. We shall know each other in our heavenly home. But if we would enjoy eternal bliss, we must cultivate religion in the home, for the home is to be the center of the purest and most elevated affection. Peace, harmony, affection, and happiness should be perseveringly cherished every day until these precious things abide in the hearts of those who compose the family. The plant of love must be carefully nourished, else it will die. So, dear ones, this heavenly peace and blessing from God can indeed become a reality within each family unit if each member of the family will humbly recognize their place and then in God's divine strength will lovingly perform their particular duties and responsibilities in the family. And living up to our duties and responsibilities, whether we're fathers or mothers or children, is only possible through the grace and the strength that comes from our Lord God Jesus Christ. In His strength, we indeed can become that family unit that will bring glory to God by preaching the greatest sermon it can preach. We will indeed have the peace and blessings from on high. But this peace is fragile, and it must be continually nourished and daily maintained by each family member if it's to survive and be ours. But besides losing this heavenly peace just by the lack of one or more family members lovingly living up to their particular duties and responsibilities, there is another way in which this heavenly peace within the family unit can be quickly destroyed and lost. And this great peace-destroying evil is the lack of each member of the family maintaining the sacredness of the family circle. So not only can we destroy peace in the family by not fulfilling our duties and responsibilities, but we can also destroy peace in the family by not maintaining this sacred circle of the family. And we will learn more about this family circle and this great evil of destroying it in our fourth and last part of this series next Sabbath. But dear ones, all things are possible to those who believe. Our God is almighty. Don't limit Him by believing He cannot help you bring your family under His rulership. Do not limit God by believing He cannot work within you a change or give you the grace and the strength to fulfill your responsibilities, even if you're a single parent. God is powerful enough to help you and to also help your children. So look up. That's where you find your strength and courage to continue on. Our closing song is entitled, Take My Life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Just one moment. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my mind and then use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure store. Take my soul and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, dear ones, all things are possible if we will unreservedly give our lives to the Lord. Let him indeed live within us, work within us, and reveal himself through us to others. Our families can be brought into line with God's word. We can indeed receive power from on high to fulfill our responsibilities. And God has all the power to make it reality. I invite you to please bow your knees and your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for not forsaking us, for not leaving us to die a terrible, hopeless death, but for going the extra mile, the extra million miles, and for emptying all heaven, sacrificing it all in Jesus Christ in order for us to be rescued from the lake of fire and to have eternal life back home with thee. Dear Father, this has been a very weighty and solemn truth that we've been going through in how you would have our families arranged and governed and to act. But we thank you for the truth. We thank you for opening our understanding and allowing us to see exactly what you require. And now, Father, we willingly choose to accept this truth and to follow it. And we look to thee and plead with thee for the grace and the strength to carry it out. Father, we may have woken up to this truth later in life, and our children are older. More set in their ways, with their characters partially developed. But Father, all things are possible. And so we plead for your Spirit to be sent in rich abundance and work upon the hearts of each family member. Soften and subdue us. Bring us into a right relation with thee and the truth. And let the truth become a precious treasure to cherish. Help us indeed to fall at the foot of our Savior and to cling to him so tenaciously that we will not let him go. Because he's the source of blessing, the source of life. And in letting him go, we lose everything. So please increase our faith. Take away unbelief. Grant us courage, determination, and earnestness to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of our God. Because in the word of the King, there is power. Power to obey. So thank you, dear Spirit, for working within us this great change. For working within each family member, whether father or mother or children, and enabling us to follow the truth. Father, we want to preach that great sermon to the world. That you indeed are a living God that is close at hand and not afar off. Help us to do so as a family unit. And thank you so much for working within us to will and to do according to thy good, righteous pleasure. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, is there any questions, any comments, any thoughts that you'd like to share? Please feel free to do so at this time. We're entering into our after-church service, and so if there's anything that you'd like to bring forth, any songs that you'd like to sing or requests, any testimonies or anything else that you'd like to share with the room and your fellow brothers and sisters, please feel free.
I just thought it was so fitting, such a great example of the whole sermon, husband and wife singing together the same song. Praise the Lord.
Abbas. I just only want to bring this testimony before the online church. Hello, this past month, I've been having trouble with my wife, my sister-in-law, and my father-in-law. Both my sister-in-law and the father had kidney failures. And my wife had this, what I could call simple cancer. But I would like to thank you for your prayers, your guidance, especially those who were attending women study, that they could guide me with all the medicinal herbs to administer to them, and I would do preferably instruct them to use. We tried the medication from the scientific doctor, but with less hope. One time, the two had been admitted in Jinja Hospital, and the hope for life was limited. We were all worried that we would eventually lose them, because when our kidneys fails, that means the body system will not perform. In most cases, their bodies would swell, and we are very much worried. So we decided to withdraw them from hospital and take them to herbal doctors who were scattered in villages. So for some past 2 weeks, they have been strictly being instructed to use herbs and avoid the scientific drugs. As we talk, my father-in-law, Wilson Mawelele, was taken to Bugiri and is now back home. Miriam has been in Nakaseke near Kampala, because he was from Jinja, was referred to Mulago Hospital, which is the biggest hospital in our country. But then when we reached there, it was too expensive to stay there. So we decided to take her to another small hospital near Kampala called Nakaseke. From there, we withdrew her and took her to a village herbalist doctor who has helped us and has administered the herbs, which has brought hope to all of them. So, by tomorrow, I believe Milia will be traveling back home. Today, he attended the services in Kampala. I praise God for that, because by the time we went to Jinja, we could not share anything with Emilia, but he could just look at us and he could sympathize and pity with her. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your guidance. That all this by our mighty, loving God has enabled them to sustain life. Thank you. Thank you. I pray that you continue praying for them so that they may live longer. Amen.
Amen. And we'll be continuing to keep your precious wife Petra and Maria and her father in prayers for their continued recovery. And praise God, dear brother, for using the herbal approach to helping the afflictions that they're under. Those simple remedies, even though there's no healing properties within themselves, the healing comes from God. But those simple remedies, God will bless with his healing grace and power. And praise God for indeed having mercy and kindness and love manifested upon your precious loved ones. And thank you for your testimony, dear brother. Praise the Lord. And one very important aid in recovering health is your attitude. If you're miserable and in despair, that will keep the body from healing itself according to God's blessing. But if you're happy in heart because you've taken your case to God, you're complying with his will and using simple remedies, and you know that he's going to heal you according to his will, that happiness will also aid the body as a very great healing medicine. So keep looking up and be happy, and that will speedily aid in the recovery of the sick. And that's actually a scripture song. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, like a medicine, a merry heart. But a broken spirit, dry up the bones. A merry heart doeth good. Proverbs 17:22. So we'll indeed be keeping you all in prayer. Amen. And Sabbath blessings to you too, dear sister. And very apropos, the comment that you made says, it is much easier to preach than to practice the same. Yet God calls us to be different from the world. The world speaks lofty words of peace, but they contradict the words they speak by their actions. We must, however, for the gospel's sake, practice what we preach. Amen indeed. Well, another scripture song comes to mind. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and wilt keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26, that healeth thee.
I like to share her scripture song. It is called Sing to the Father with Words of Praise. Sing to the Father with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his name. Sing to the Father with words of love, filled with his spirit of life from above. Sing to the Savior with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his name. Sing to the Father with words of love. Take up our crosses and follow in love. Sing to the Father with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his name. Sing to the Father with words of love, filled with his spirit of life from above. Sing to the Savior with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his shame. Sing to the Savior with words of love, take up our crosses and follow in love. Sing to the Father with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his name. Sing to the Father with words of love, filled with his spirit of life from above. Sing to the Savior with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear his shame.
Sing to the Savior with words of love. Take up our crosses and follow in love. Sing to the Father with words of praise, counting us worthy to bear His name. Sing to the Savior with words of love. Take up our crosses and follow in love. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear that hour. Oh, I'm sorry. How precious did that grace appear the hour I was believed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The Lord has promised good things to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portions be made. As long as life endures, through many dangerous toils and snares, I have already come this far. As you can see, I don't really know the rest of the songs. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no last days to sing God's praise. Then when we've first begun, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible knows me so. Little ones that we belong, say, oh, weep, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen, and thank you. That was beautiful. Well, a hymn came to mind, Praise to the Lord. And those who know this hymn, if you'd like to take a verse, please feel free. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shieldeth thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend thee. Indeed, dear ones, you can do all things through Christ which sustains you and strengthens you. So go forward in faith without doubt. And God will do wonders in your life. Dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close? I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead, guide, strengthen, and encourage you to continue in the faith without wavering. Indeed, to become settled and established upon the truth, the rock Christ Jesus. And praise God for indeed continuing to hold out mercy and hope to each one of us. So, dear ones, keep looking up from where your strength comes. And continue to be happy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. things. Isaiah 25:1. There's been a request for Jesus Savior, pilot me. And those that would like to take a verse of this, please feel free to do so. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea, unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Though the sea be smooth and bright, sparkling with the stars of night, and my ship's path be ablaze with the light of joyful days, still I know my need of thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When the darkened heavens frown and the wrathful winds come down and the fierce waves tossed on high lash themselves against the sky, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's oft-troubled sea. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will when thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest.
Okay, Bob, you said you needed the words to a song. I'm going to sing it, try to sing it and see if you can guess it. Hum fum a zambi boom a no in tula, bima yon son yang game salaka, bambuete te tangu tingona songa, golo yang game in si ya bimba. Punam holo siti sange zambi, gehi kele ne ne mengi. Punam holo siti sange zambi, gehi kele ne ne mengi. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Now, you tell me what language that was. I'm singing in tongues, I think.
They're all guessing, but they don't know what language it was.
I think it's Swahili. Bob might know. He had somebody sing this on the chat one day, and I recorded it and wrote it out phonetically and thought I would try and reproduce it. If anybody's around that understands it, translate that all might be benefited. Thank you.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mounds grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamations and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to share a hymn as well. It's entitled, Open My Eyes, Dear Savior. The study was about refreshing, and this song is about refreshing us. Open my eyes, dear Savior, utters in the noontime heat. I pine for refreshing waters, that's more so cool and sweet. Open my eyes, dear Savior, now, open my eyes to see the well of thy full salvation that sparkles and flows for me. Open my eyes, dear Savior, I faint near the burning sky, and here in a lonely desert, for water in vain I cry. Open my eyes, dear Savior, now, open my eyes to see the well of thy full salvation that sparkles and flows for me. Open my eyes, dear Savior, I know that the well is near, but all that my strength grows stronger, his mission more bright and clear. Open my eyes, dear Savior, now, open my eyes to see the well of thy full salvation that sparkles and flows for me. When is the voice that calleth, and what do my eyes behold? O Savior, my prayer is answered, is answered a hundredfold. Open my eyes, dear Savior, now, open my eyes to see the well of thy full salvation that sparkles and flows for me. Praise to thy name, dear Savior mine, joyfully now I see the well of thy full salvation that sparkles and flows for me. Amen.
Well, you asked for it. My range, as you found on the last song, is kind of lacking there. The roof's falling in, the basement's filling up with I don't know what. But keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on.